Ready. But I claim that just knowing the Lord as my Savior, so enthused with trying to do that which He has ordained to be done, and through this He has given me the opportunity by a gift to express to the people that where I don't have the education to do it, maybe the works will express that I am His servant and you are my brother and sister, and that will do the vindication of it. And maybe that'll let you know that I love you, God loves you, and together we hope to spend an endless eternity together in a land beyond the river somewhere else. Next week, next Sunday, beginning a week from this Sunday, as I made a little rude expression, I'm going to begin in your suburbs now, next week from this coming Sunday. That's Chicago, see, up here, suburbs of this city. And I don't know just where that is, as Mr., I never call that Italian name, Potocki, what? Potocki. Has he announced where those services will be held in Chicago? It's already been announced on the platform. I don't even know myself where they're at. And so we'll find it some way. I get there and call Brother Carlson, somebody, and find out where I'm supposed to be. And so we are expecting great things in Chicago next week. We would be happy for you to be our guest there in Chicago. And or any other meeting that we could ever be at. Now, one time I have said the nights would never get too dark or the rain would never fall too hard but what I would come to you to help you to anything that I could pertaining to the kingdom of God or any other thing that I could help you. If I had a little money, if you needed it, it'd be yours. That's right. If I'd do that. Anyone who knows my life and my family, it's the same way. My poor old father has gone on today. He didn't live the right life on earth. He had one bad habit, drinking. If he met a man on the street, a perfect stranger, and the man was hungry and he had one biscuit, he'd break it in two with him. We believe in helping those who are needy and helping. I wish I could say I'd come to you any time. I'd like to say that, but I can't. There's too many. Just this little meeting here, which is just a little small group of people, I think the world over, millions. See, I couldn't justly say that. But I'll do this, friend. I'll do everything I can. If you want me to pray over a handkerchief like this year, send it to you. If you don't need it now and you want it anyhow, you stand and get it. There's no charges on nothing. We don't charge for anything. There's no charges for services, even to our books. That's not my books. They belong to different people that wrote those books. I buy them at 40% less. I've given my book agents to them. They say so at the door. If a man, woman, boy, or girl comes in and wants one of them books and haven't got the money to pay for it, give it to him anyhow. And we always lose on the books. There's no way of making even ends break. And the picture of the angel of the Lord, that doesn't belong to me. That belongs to the Douglas Studios and it's copyrighted and could not be reproduced because you'd be breaking the rights of the copyright. So they're not ours. And we just bring them along because we think it would help somebody. And buying them books at 40% less and maybe lose 10 or 15% of them before you get it to you. Then you've got to pay for these boys to sell these. The church gives them so much a week. And by the way, it isn't mine. It's the tabernacle takes care of that. And everything that we do is free of charge. Now, I'm not trying to get your address. I don't, as I say, I've got, well, my secretary, he does my work. I don't know whether, are you here, Jim, today? I don't know whether he got over or not. His father-in-law is here, I think, and his mother-in-law, Mr. and Mrs. Fred Softman. They're here. His wife answers the phone. Brother Jim does the typing. Brother Leo Mercer does the field work. He was here just a moment ago, his associate here. These boys work for the Branham Tabernacle, which I'm associated with, which is an independent, sovereign church, chartered at Jeffersonville and Clark County. And it's a non-profit foundation, and the money that comes into the church and so forth goes into the foreign fields to sponsor poor people who doesn't have the money to send for me to come over there, but yet they need me real bad. And I take that money as soon as they get enough built up and go over to the foreign fields to preach to those the same gospel that you have a privilege of seeing, And therefore I know as a steward of his money, I'm going to have to answer for it at the day of the judgment. And I take it myself, as long as I'm young enough to go and can go, I want to go to be sure that I preach and bring them the message that you donated for them to hear. The credit all be yours at that day. I'm just a servant to pack the message. I suppose, as the boys once said a while ago, they've taken a love offering for me. That wasn't necessary. I didn't come for that. I've been preaching 31 years. I pastored the Baptist Tabernacle for 17 years. Go look the books. I never asked anybody across the nation anywhere. I never took an offering in all my life. I never, in all my life. One time while pastoring the tabernacle, we as poor people, we run a little short in money. We all know what that is, don't you? We just had some debts we had to meet, wife and I. Billy was quite small then. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take up an offering tonight. That's the closest I ever come to it. And an old brother that's in glory today, Brother Weishart, we didn't have an offering plate. You used to put it in the papers in the city, the church which has no offering plate. I worked, labor, whatever I could do to make a living in the church, not because they wouldn't support me. I could work, why not work? Other men work, Paul work, why not me? And the reason, the tremendous strain of the work from place to place, or I'd rather come right here and take a rock and hammer and go out here on the street and work all day, come and preach to you at night, that'd be my desire, if I could do it. That's before God and my Bible. But we had to get a little money. I needed about $5, and I made a promise, and a debt owing, I just didn't have it, and we couldn't get it. So I said, I'm going to take up an offering tonight. My lovely little wife, if there's any credit goes to the Branham family, let it go to her. She's the one who stood between me and the public, and all the things that's been done, let her have the credit. She says to me, Billy, I'm going to go over and watch you do that. I got up that night, she's sitting back. I said, friends, I've been pastoring here, I guess, about 12 years. I said, I've never took an offering. I'm just a little bit in need tonight. I really need about $5. I said, if we're going to pass the hat around, if you got a nickel or two, you could not a congregation as much as sitting on this floor right here. And I said, if you would have got a nickel or a dime, you'd like to help me to it, I'd appreciate it very much. We didn't have no offering plate. I said, Brother Weishart, would you get my hat? I happened to look down there, and a little old woman, she's in glory today. Her name is Mrs. Weber. She had one of these little aprons on. It's got a pocket underneath the apron. Did you women ever see one of them? I guess your mother's wore them years ago. She got down there and got a hold of one of these little pocketbooks that's got a snap on top of it. She said, oh, yeah. It's doing hard times now. That's been about 25 years ago. She unsnapped that little pocketbook and began to feel around all that nickel. I couldn't have took it. I just couldn't do it. That's all of us do it. I looked down there and I thought, oh, mercy. Oh, I said, I was just teasing you. I don't know what you would say. I was just going on to you. Brother Weishart had my hat in his hand. Oh, I said, Brother Weishart, I ain't my hat. I was just teasing the church. And so I went over home and I thought, well, I went out to 10-cent store and got a 10-cent can of paint. There's an old man. He's gone on to glory now. Brother Gene, you remember him well. Old Brother Ryan. He used to have long hair and long beard. He rode this bicycle down there and he gave it to me. It backslid on him, and no, that ain't good for a Baptist to say, is it? Let's just say it wore out. It just wore out. And I'm a Baptist, I'm a Pentecostal Baptist, you see, a Baptist. It's got the Holy Ghost. So I said, went over and got this old bicycle and went out and got me a can of paint, painted up. For me, it looked pretty good. Sandpaper it off and set it out front and sold it for $5. Never had to take up an offering after all. So that's the closest I ever come to it. Thank you, my friends, for what was in the offering. It'll go to the treasury, and from that we'll go to the foreign fields to bring this message to the heathens and those people who don't have one meal maybe once a week to eat on. That's where we'll go. And may the God of heaven return it to you 100-fold and put golden bricks in that home of yours beyond the sky. It's my prayer. Write to me anytime now that you wish. Call me on the phone. Many times I'm kind of not around Jeff very much. My address, Jeffersonville, Indiana, Post Office Box 325. If you can't think of the 325, just say Jeffersonville. And if you want to call me, my number is Butler 21519. If you can't get it to that number, then call Butler 23826. Can't get that, call Butler 36771. Can't get that, better stop that. But anyhow, the main number to call to get me, Butler 21519, that's 1519, that's the office, and they could tell you about where I could be located. Any hour of the night or anything I could do to pray for you with the phone, send you a prayer cloth or anything, absolutely free, there's nothing to see. Be glad to do it. And now, I suppose, there's been things happening in my last three meetings that startled me. This morning I sat with my son for nearly an hour, and I said, Billy, what's wrong? Last night, it come forth again. I'm leaving the field. What's the matter? Am I going home? Is my work finished? Is my this type of ministry done? Am I going to the foreign fields? I don't know how to say those things, but something's fishing to happen. I don't know what it is. So, if it is to a field beyond the river yonder, over to the heathen, wherever it might be, I feel that America has had its message. And if it is, I want to ask you a favor. Until we meet again at the great river yonder at the end of the road, will you pray for me? Thank you. When the witch doctor is challenging me to a debate, when the demons of all sorts in the foreign fields, if I shall be called, as they usually do, I'll remember it, over around Bloomington, Illinois, and it's round about cities, I got a bunch of people on a Sunday afternoon who raise their hands, I'll be praying for you. And when I have to walk out before to meet it, I'll know that I'm covered by the blood in your prayer. Can we bow our heads now for a word of prayer? Gracious Father, we're giving thanks to Thee from the depths of our soul for all that we have heard from You. We have read from Your Word and seen You make manifest to us this week. We thank You for this fine people, for this fine ministers, for their fine churches, for this great college, for this auditorium, for all that has been done and said, for the ushers, for the musicians, for the singers, just everything, Father. If I miss out any, bless them, Father. You've seen every little move, every little gracious move. You've seen the mother, the daddy, put in a portion of their living to support this meeting. They did it because that You were speaking to them. We could not give it back to them, and would not, because it would rob them from the blessing it lays just beyond. For one day we read in the Bible that where Jesus was watching the rich put a lot of money in the offering, but a poor widow came by and put in about 3 pennies. Lord, I guess if I'd have been standing there, I'd have run up and grabbed her hand and said, don't do that, sister. We got enough in here. But You were standing there and You didn't stop her. For You knew what lay just ahead. You knew that You'd return it to her 100-fold. So, Father, I know that Your great eye watched every move that we've made. We pray that whatever we have done and the feeble efforts that we have, that's been pleasing in Your sight. I realize, Father, that I'm speaking this afternoon to men and women I'll perhaps never see again in this life. Many aged are sitting here and many sick. Someday I hope to meet them there at the river when they're transformed from this life. Young men and women washed in the blood of the Lamb with bodies that will never have another healing service. Neither will there be another sinner weeping around the altar. I pray that You'll bless them. Bless these ministers, these shepherds of Yours, that in the midst of criticism, when, Father, the cause of their true stand of the Word, my name's not too good among them, but they wasn't ashamed, they called me anyhow. Oh God, bless their ministry. May they realize that these things are only to bring the church back to its right standing. Only to shake us back, Lord, to where the Holy Spirit can build upon a real, true foundation. Hallelujah. Upon really born-again men and women. Father, not because I don't love their organizations, denominations, it's because I see the systems are letting the people get too loose. Help us, God. You know my heart, how I love them. And I pray that you'll bless us together as we turn to your word now for the final reading, the closing of this revival. This 8 days of efforts, but may the revival never close. May it go on and on. May it live till the result will still be here when Jesus comes. But I pray that you'll do something this afternoon that'll cap it all off. That'll cause the people to hear the word in such a way that the Holy Spirit will plant the seed deep in their heart. My heart still goes to that poor little girl I met there in the door a few minutes ago, sitting twisted up in that wheelchair. How that you sprung down and told her how she'd become that way. What she was when she was a little girl, and told her the reason that she's not well, walking around right now. God, may that never leave that child's heart. She typed a letter of invitation to me. Pray, God, that that child will be healed. Pray. May it never leave her little heart and know that that was not me standing there. That was the Holy Spirit speaking through the servant of yours, telling her exactly what was truth, what she was, what she is, and what she can be. May it never leave her, Lord. Bless all who are sick and afflicted this afternoon. As your servants stand, we pray for the sick. May they all be healed. May the lost be saved, and God receive glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray for Brother Roberts, Billy Graham, Tommy Osborne, Tommy Hicks, great man of God out in the field today. Pray for them. Won't you do it? You pray for those brothers. They're fighting a hard battle. My heart bleeds for them. Pray that they'll stay true to the gospel. And when it's all over, we'll all gather together as one big family. Have we any more of the books left from the businessman's about the vision? They're all gone. Anybody here that never got a copy, raise your hand. Never got a copy. A few. I suppose if you would just write to the Christian Businessman Voice, Los Angeles, they probably had a few thousand of them left. They'd be glad to send you one free. I suppose there'd be a charge. It would be a dime or something. I don't know. Just something for the printing cost. It's got the vision, and I want you to read it. And before this open Bible, before my God, I should know what visions mean. That wasn't a vision. I was there. I seen it. I hate to say that because someone thinks you're trying to impersonate the great St. Paul. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it. I know that somewhere just beyond here, there's a land we live again. How could I ever? I said when coming back, let me do all that I can. I'm not responsible for what others say. I have to answer for my own saying. I don't know what you might say. I've heard people say that. I hope that every bit of it was true. I hope every bit was true. Brother, sister, before God, this was true. It was true. I was just as I am now, only a young man again, standing somewhere looking at people that were from old and turned young. And there was no sickness, no sorrow, no death. They were different. And yet he told me it was greater than that yet to come. That would be good enough for me for all time. I have thought this afternoon, excuse me, I don't want to be a baby, but when you meet people and then know you have to leave them, and maybe you know old people like this, if I come back a year from now, I'll probably never see you again. And it just does something to me. But let's try to get now over to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. And I want to read just a part of the 14th verse, or quote it to you. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, As it is said unto this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Genesis 22:14. Now, I just want to give your close attention as I just teach this. And I'll be quickly. I've got 300 miles in this blizzard to drive this afternoon to meet an obligation tomorrow. So, I want you to be sure to try to catch it, to cap off what I've said this week of the coming of the Lord being at hand. And now, if you got a pencil and paper, I have about 20 scriptures written out here. If you would just like to refer to them as we read along and jot down little notes, because I truly think that this is the most timely thing that the Holy Spirit has ever let me speak on. And I trust that in doing this that you'll understand that I can only speak it. The Holy Spirit will have to interpret it. Now, I spoke this twice already, and this is the third time approaching this same message because it's so timely. And I'm titling this, and if you miss it, it'll be on tape if you got a tape recorder while the boys will send you the tapes. And now just write to them, I guess they their address and so forth. If you don't, well, just write to me there and it'll be brought over in their box. And they are a foundation of their own. They're the Audio Mission at Jeffersonville, and two fine boys, Mr. Mercer and Mr. Gold. And I guess you've heard their story, how they become associates of mine. It was because they come there to try to expose me, form themselves a little FBI. They were coming there and didn't think that them visions were true. And come there investigating around, acting like they were ministers, and the Holy Spirit uncovered their life right before them. So they have become my associates. One of them, a Catholic, a French Catholic, Mr. Mercer, just ere his conversion, was a bartender. Mr. Gold, sitting here, I believe formerly was from the Methodist Church, wasn't here, people? Backslidden Nazarene. Was you worked in an office somewhere, didn't you, Brother Gold, in Gary, Indiana? A bartender and an office boy. A backslidden Nazarene and a Roman and a French Canadian Catholic together to expose me. And if I'm doing anything wrong, I want to be exposed. I want to be right now. This is time to make it right, not after I get over there. Let's get it right now. I found them to be real gentlemen, honest, real boys. When they asked me if they could make tapes, they have to have something to live by. Mr. Mercer's married now. Mr. Gold's in the making. If there's any young ladies that if his face isn't red now. Gee, I just did that so it would be a change from get myself so I could get back to this text. I'll witness he's a fine man. He's my buddy, a real brother. Now, I'm going to title this Abraham and his seed after him. And I want to climax at Genesis 22:14 and Jehovah Jireh. Now, we know that God has seven compound redemptive names. We all are acquainted with that. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide for himself a sacrifice. Jehovah Rapha is Jehovah, the Lord, our healer. Jehovah Manassas, our banner, our buckler, our shield, our so forth, on seven compound redemptive names, belongs to Jehovah. And his first name is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide for himself a sacrifice. Now, listen close, and if you have to just make yourself, if somebody's whispering next to you, say, would you just be quiet just a moment, please, so I get this. Then they'll do it. They'll be nice. Now we're going to start back, go back in the back after we've got here where I want to bring this sermon to the climax. Let's go back to Genesis, the 12th chapter, if you want to write these places down. Genesis, the 12th chapter. And now we're going to talk about Abraham. Now remember that Abraham, the promise was made to Abraham. We're all acquainted with that. Is that right, my clergy, brother? The promise was Abraham, to him. And Abraham was not a Jew. Abraham was a Gentile. He come down from the tower from Babylon with his father, and he dwelt in the land of the Shinar there, the valleys, and dwelt in the city of Ur, the land of the Chaldeans. And the Chaldeans dwelt in that land, and he was in the city of Ur, and perhaps a farmer. And he was 75 years old before God called him. He had married his half-sister, and her name was Sarah. His name was Abram. And they were just two ordinary people. And one day God called Abraham and made a covenant with Abraham. Now watch. And his seed after him. Now, I'm going to put up two books here and call these books, see, to Abraham and his seed after him. Now, what he did for Abraham, he done for his seed after him. All that understands that clearly now say amen. That Abraham and his seed after him. Now, if we'll notice in Genesis 12 that God called Abraham by election, not because Abraham had done anything to deserve it, no more. He might have been an idolater. I don't know. And Babylon, they worship roots. And if you ever read Hoses to Babylon, the ancient history, you would find out that Babylon founded by Nimrod, it was just perfectly idolatry. That's all. And he was, we find Babylon in the first of the Bible, in the middle of the Bible, and in the last of the Bible. And it was an organization system. Babylon was a leading city that made all the other little cities pay tribute to it. See? Kind of like a headquarters somewhere, and where orders went out and all the rest of them had to pay into that one place. And Abraham had come down from there with his father. Now, God called him by election. Now, brethren, my precious darling brethren, if I happen to get out of order in the scriptural doctrine, would you just forgive me for it? Endorse my ignorance? Would you do it? And my theological brethren out there, if you feel that my doctrine is wrong, will you just forget it? See, just now, many of you people are writing me letters and saying, Brother Bannon, should we do this and do that? I always say, ask your pastor, see, because I'll do anything I can to answer you on the great fundamental evangelical doctrines of the Bible. But when it comes to about should we do this and do that, I always refer to your pastor, because we might, each man, and there isn't two here, but what would disagree with one another on little technical things, whether we should comb our hair on the right side or left side. And mine, I have no trouble with that. But you know what I mean. We have those things. So I always just say to every congregation, ask your pastor those things. If he has led you far enough to be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, can't you trust him the rest of the way through? For God honored him for that. But on bringing this timely thought to the people this afternoon, I'm going to have to use just a little bit of doctrine that might be set and something like that. But if you don't think it's right, just lay it aside and go on. If the pastor teaches anything a little different, forget what I said about it, see? Because I'm trying to come to a point. I hope that's all right. I hope that's made clear. But, you see, Abraham, not being nothing himself, he was called by election. Then if Abraham was called by election, then his seed after him has to be called by election. Right? Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And all that the Father hath given me will come to me. That's the reason you just preach the gospel in its plainness, yet the elected sheep of God will hear that and catch it right quick, and they'll believe that baptism of the Holy Ghost, where others will walk away and make fun of it, because they were elected to hear it. That's all. So you see now why that the church itself is elected, pre-elected by God. Now let me take the word out of 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter there, where it said predestinated. Now that's not a good word to use before people, because predestinated is it would be better if we used it like this, that it was by foreknowledge. God, by his foreknowledge, could predestinate to his own glory. See? He didn't say, I'm going to choose you and I'm going to send you to hell and I'm going to choose you and send you to hell. That wasn't God's idea. He wanted all of us to come to heaven. But being God, he foreknew who would come and who would not come. Now that clears up Romans 9 and 8 and 9 there, where it says that the election of God might stand sure, that before either boy was born, talking of Esau and Jacob, God said, I love Jacob and hate Esau. See, his foreknowledge let him know that Esau was nothing but just a little shyster anyhow, and Jacob had recompense to that birthright. So see, his foreknowledge lets him know. If he didn't know the end from the beginning, then he wasn't God. See? And the Bible said that we, the church, now I want you to remember there is three classes of people. Three classes of people in the world, always has been and will be to the end. Now let's say that together. Three classes of people. Unbelievers, make-believers, and believers. Keep that in mind. Three classes of people. Now, the class that was elected before the foundation of the world and were called in Christ before the foundation of the world. How many knows that Christ was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world? Well, how was he slain? In God's great program, he knew that he would project the Son, and that Son would be the Savior of his people. Is that right? So when God speaks a thing, it's already finished. Oh, brother. Where's that little sister? I had the vision was over a few minutes ago, sitting like this in the wheelchair. If you could see that sister, dear, it would be over for you. When God speaks anything, when God makes a statement, it is for as long as he says so, it's perfect. It's got to come to pass. It just has to. And then when his word comes into us, no matter what we do, what we look like, what we think of, it's got to come to pass. See? So God don't run his business. If he's saved, he sure knows he's going to lose us after a while. He poor businessman. And so therefore, all that he foreknew, he has what? Called. All that he has called, he has justified. All that he has justified, he has already glorified. Now there's going to be a church meeting there without spot or wrinkle. Brother Bam, you in? I hope so. But we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And when you see your life not coping up with God's Word, no matter what church you belong to, you know you're out of order. See? And if you just do your religion because you know it's something that you're supposed to do, you're just playing the part of a hypocrite. If it isn't from your heart that you love God, then you're wrong to start with. See? You love. It's love that controls the whole thing. Now watch. Abraham was called by election. Nothing Abraham did. And I noticed the covenant and Genesis 12, see, the whole covenant was given to Abraham. The whole covenant is completely grace. See? Not Abraham, if you'll do a certain thing, I'll do a certain thing. It wasn't, if you'll do this, I'll do this. God makes a covenant with a man, and man always breaks his covenant. He told Adam, if you'll not eat from that tree, you'll live. But Adam, eat from it. And he told him the covenant that he made with them at the Mosaic covenant in the wilderness there. They broke it. Every time that God makes a covenant with man, man breaks it. But this time, God made a covenant with Abraham and his seed unconditionally. Now, do you understand? Not Abraham, if you will do this, I will do this. But Abraham, I have already done it. I've already, you'll come to me, you're already saved. You'll come to me in a ripe old age. He's already done it. And now it isn't today, if you will do a certain thing, if you will do this, if you that, it's already finished. Now if you'll go away and learn a good education, if you know all this, that, and the other, I'll heal you. I'll save you. If you'll get a Bachelor of Art, I have already done it. It's finished. Amen. I just want you to reach out here and get it. That's all. You see what I mean? Only thing that Abraham had to do was abide in his covenant. He didn't have to do nothing for the covenant. God done made that with him. He just had to stay put. Hallelujah. Now I begin to get religious. See? When we know this, that the only thing we have to do to inherit any of God's promises is to stay put on God's word.
Amen. Amen.
Let nothing shake you from it. Now notice, he perfectly typed Abraham and his seed after him. I'm going to follow the junctions of Abraham's life. And then follow the junctions of Abraham's seed and see if God kept his word letter by letter. Now, Abraham, we know that there's only one way that we can be saved, and that is be in the covenant with Abraham because it was made to Abraham. But the Bible said, we be in Christ. We be dead in Christ, take on Abraham's seed and are heirs with Abraham. Is that right? Now, Christ is the royal seed of Abraham. Out of Abraham come Isaac, out of Isaac come Jacob, out of Jacob come Joseph, out of Joseph, so forth, on down, David, David, on, so and so, to finally the royal seed was born, which was Christ, and in Christ made Abraham the father of all nations. And the Abrahamic covenant is confirmed to the people, given to the people unconditionally. Now you read in the 12th chapter, he made the covenant with Abraham unconditionally. He called Abraham. I heard people say, I sought God, now sought God, now sought God. You're mistaken. God sought you and sought you and sought you. But you seeking God, it's God seeking you. Well, the very beginning proved it. Adam, it had been Adam hollering, Father, Father, where are you? Of sin, Father. But it was God saying, Adam, Adam, where art thou?
Right.
See?
Right.
So it's always, could you go out and tell a pig that he's wrong because he's eating slop? Would he believe it? No. He'd tell you to tend to his own business. And that's the way with the sinner. You can't tell him nothing. He won't listen to you. He won't even sit in church 5 minutes to listen at you. He's a pig to begin with. He's a scavenger, a vulture. That's his nature. See? So you can't tell him nothing because that's just what he is. He's a vulture. You can't feed on good things. Now, notice, then when you get that, what God said to Abraham, he called Abraham, and if you ever was called, it wasn't you doing the seeking. It was God sought you. And by God's grace, he saved you. Not because you did something, not because that you're worthy of it, but because God's grace to you did it. Everybody understand that? Say amen.
Amen.
Now we're getting started. Now what was it? When God took a man and called him first, what was that? Justification. Abraham, in regards of hearing the voice of God speak to him, believed on the Lord God. Is that right? Therefore, he was justified by faith by believing on the Lord God. Is that what we are? Seed of Abraham? Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Now, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, or allowed to his account for righteousness. How do you do? You say, well, I'm the Joneses. I live in a certain, that don't have one thing to do with it. God calls you, and you accept the call. And by your faith, by accepting Christ, the royal seed of Abraham, which calls you, then you're justified by faith. Is that right? That's the only way I know it. That's the scripture as far as I know. I know I was a sinner, rank. God stopped me in the middle of my sin and knocked at my heart's door, and I turned and looked back and said, who is this? He said, I'm your Lord. I said, then, Lord, let me come. I never stopped and said, hey, Lord. Hey, where you at? I'm going to talk to you a while. See? No, you don't do that. It's God stops you. So, now it's by grace that God called you, not what you did, what you could do, what you will do. If you're the seed of Abraham, God spoke to you by his amazing grace. Just like he did Abraham in the 12th chapter of Genesis. Now, and then notice, as soon as Abraham believed God by justification, believing on the Lord, we're justified, immediately God called Abraham to total separation from all unbelief. Is that what he did in you? Separate yourself from your kindred, from all your associates. Come out of the pool rooms. Come out of the dance halls. Come away from the things of the world. God calls for a total separation to Abraham's seed. Well, that's what he called Abraham. Are you patterning it? This instrument is Abraham. This instrument represents his seed after him, and the covenant was made to both Abraham and his seed after him. And as Abraham was called by grace, by election, so was his seed called by grace and election. See? They heard the voice of God and believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Heard the voice of God in a barroom. Ever worked with that. And believed God, and Abraham was commanded to abstain and to separate himself from the things of the world, and so is the seed of Abraham. Amen. Separate themselves from the seed of things of the world. Right. Justification by faith. We could stay on that the rest of the afternoon, but we got to hurry. Now as we find out, Abraham never fully obeyed. Now that's the way a lot of us people. As soon as we go and make a confession, we think, well, now we've joined church and we're going to be pretty good people. We're neighbors. It won't hurt to smoke a little, or, oh, if I just keep my card party going, that won't hurt anything. But remember, God never did bless Abraham until he fully obeyed.
Amen. Amen.
And God will not bless his seed until you fully obey.
Amen.
Separating yourself from the things of the world. Come out from among them. Be separate, saith the Lord. I will receive you. Touch not their unclean things. You abide me in my word, and you ask what you will, and it'll be done to you. See? Now, you see, you've got to come out from the world. But what did Abraham do? Oh, he had his nephew along, Lot, the church member, lukewarm, and his daddy, the old man, was a fly in the ointment as long as he stuck around, and he tucked some of the things along, and that's just the way we try to do. We try to pull into the churches, into our organization, the things of the world. Now, my Methodist brethren, I love you. My Baptist brethren, I love you. The same as I love my Pentecostal brethren, or whatever it is. But you see, we're trying to pull the things out of the world and carry it right along with us like Abraham did. I'm not unchristianizing you by your organization. I'm only telling you you're not fully obeying God until you separate yourself. Now,
when you still run to picture shows to see every kind of an old picture, when you stay at home and let your meetings out early tonight so they can see some uncensored television program. So that you can go down in your basement, and some of you Protestant churches doing that, and having bunco games and dance in the basement. Soup suppers. Little friendly dances. And what's called the YMCA teaching rock and roll.
That's right.
And listen! You, my Methodist brethren, when about 6 weeks ago, my mother, she's a Methodist too, when she called me down to the house, and here in Indiana, they having a rock and roll dance in the Methodist church on television, covering up the orders and the things like that, and they asked, even the sponsor, the television man, said, don't you think this, the people criticized it, said, too long has the Methodist church forgot the beautiful art of rock and roll. If John Wesley knew that, he'd turn in his grave. Too much have you went to the things of the world. You know what? You Methodists, I talked to Jack Shuler. That's one of the finest men you got. You got millions of fine man Methodist church people. Some of the best. I'm looking at the face of two Methodist ministers right now that's bosom friends of mine. There isn't better man stands than shoe leathers I know of. Right. But you're forgetting, you're not separating yourself. John Wesley was the one who started preaching sanctification and separate yourself from the things of the world. And you Methodist women wearing shorts, makeup on your face. And don't you know what your pastor said about such stuff as that? But you've got a weak pulpit and a big building. That's what's the matter with you. And don't you just look over and laugh at the Baptist, because Baptist, you're the same, and Pentecostal, you're the same.
Amen.
Now, we just have to make it right now, that's all.
Amen.
Now, what a pity it is. Don't you know that if you're the seed of Abraham, you've got to separate yourself from the things of the world, because it was made to Abraham and his seed after him? And Abraham never did come into the blessing. No wonder on this ground here, down at Wheaton College, down at Asbury, over to Moody, where we're going next, but in Chicago to Moody, why don't they have revivals like we used to? You're not separating yourself, children of Abraham. How will God ever deal in a place like that when he can't even get you to live morally? That's right. You can never have a revival based upon such stuff as that. Now you say, Brother Brennan, you get angry at it. Let the Lord be my judge. See? But if somebody don't tell you, if something doesn't take place, you're going to wind up down on the little end of school. Now, come out of such a thing.
Hallelujah.
You who are. What about the Methodist church, you Methodist people, when they used to go down the road, and you Methodists here, when you first come in Asbury and over here, and you had the old-fashioned meeting when people fell on the floor with the Holy Ghost laying there, kicking and screaming and throwing their hands up, and you dash water in their faces and things like that to bring them to? Oh, God! Methodists, what happened to that experience? Where's it at today?
Sure.
What happened? Something went wrong. You see, you're drifting. All wrong, get an hour away from the seed of Abraham. Now watch, God, the next thing, now that was justification, to hurry up. Now, what did God do now in Genesis 12? He saved Abraham by election, and Abraham was justified by faith, believing on God's word. Is that right?
Amen.
Baptist, is that the way you got it? Methodist, is that the way you got it? Pilgrim Holiness, Nazarenes, Pentecostals, is that the way you got it? Sure, exactly right. Now watch the stage of the journey. On they went. To make it quick now, I want you to go with me to the next place now to Genesis 15. A lot of things in there we can take week after week on. But just to bring these stages to you, to show you what he did. In the 15th chapter, Abraham began to wonder, how will I ever know these things? Then God confirmed the covenant to him. He gave him a confirmation of the covenant. In Genesis, the 15th chapter, we find that out. When he completely separated himself, Lot ran into Sodom, and the old man died, and Abraham separated himself and got alone, then God began to speak to him. Baptists do that. Methodists do that. Pentecostals do that. Separate yourself from the things of the world and see if God don't go to talking to you. Separate yourself from the things of this life and find out if God don't talk to you. But when he completely did it, he said, now see that you made me a promise of a son, and I go childless, and my only heir is this Eliezer of Damascus. Said, how am I going, how's it going to be done? Now listen close to all of you. Now there, Abraham in Genesis 1 was justified by faith. Now here comes in your John Wesley doctrine. Here comes in your sanctification or your confirmation of the covenant. Remember, Abraham took a she-goat, a heifer, and three animals, a goat, a sheep, a heifer of 3 years old, then three being the confirmation of threes, I told you again, the whole 3 years old, and he killed them and split them apart. Is that right? Then he took a turtle dove and a pigeon, which represents divine healing, never separated them. Notice that? The Bible said he, when you're reading this back now, after I'm gone, he never separated the pigeon and the dove, because why? There was a change in the covenant from Christ to from the Lamb unto the Lamb of God, but divine healing has always been based upon your faith. He never separated the dove and the bird. He laid them down there, but he did split the 3 year sacrifices. Now, what was it? The shedding of the blood. The first one of Abraham's seed in the church age. Do you believe the church age started after Pentecost? Do you believe that first round there of Jews and so forth? Then do you believe the first reformation of the called out church for the rapture was Lutheran's group? Sure it was. He preached, the just shall live by faith. He refused the communion of being the literal body of Christ and threw it on the floor, that young priest Martin Luther, and preached the just shall live by faith. Is that right?
Amen.
John Wesley preached sanctification, the second definite work of grace. Is that right?
Amen.
Separating himself from the things of the world. Now, he dealt with Abraham under justification. Then Abraham's seed with Martin Luther under justification. Now he comes to Abraham to the confirming of the covenant. And also, he's coming over here to Abraham's seed in the confirming of the covenant for coming back to the blood. The killing of the sacrifice. Oh, do you see it? Say amen if you do. Listen. Then he comes back to the sacrifice. Watch, let me take this a minute, how the sacrifice was confirmed. And we'll hurry. I notice quickly. How do we do when we confirm a covenant? This brother here, stand up just a minute. You're a pastor, have a church. You'll say, you have a church? All right, say, you got a church? All right, stand up just a minute. You have a church. You say, Brother Van, let's go out and have a little lunch together, all right? Would you come to my church and hold a revival? Let's see. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll serve a certain thing. Yeah, I'll do that. Shake, boy. That's it. Be right there. Is that it? That's the way we confirm our covenant. Is that right? By handshake. Eat a little something, shake a hand. We agree. That's our pledge to one another, our right hand. Hurry there. We'll do it. That's the covenant in the United States. Well, you know how they do it in Japan? They go out and have a little bite to eat, and when they come back and they're going to confirm their covenant, they get a little cruse of salt, and they stand and throw salt on one another. That salt is a contact, a savior, you see, which means that that's how they confirm their covenant. But did you know how they did it in the Orient in the days of Abraham? I hope that I don't tear up nothing valuable. This little letter here, which has got a handkerchief in it, but I want to use something. They've taken those sacrifices and killed the sacrifice
You understand the three sacrifices was this time, meaning the three races, three generations, so and so. Now we have three church ages and so forth of the last of the calling of the church. And then they kill this sacrifice, they come together, and upon the parchment which was a lambskin, they wrote, "I will agree to do so and so and so with you." Yes, we do that. All right. Will you meet this obligation? I will. I'll meet it. All right. Will you do such and such? Yeah, I will. We'll meet it. All right. They kill the sacrifice. They stand right in between these sacrifices, raise their hands to God, and take a vow. If they break this covenant, let their body be like this dead body laying here. Then they take this and tear it apart. One takes one piece, and one takes the other piece. Now, there's not a way in the world I've ever dovetailing that back together again. It has to be the same thing when we come together. I'm packing my part of it. He's packing his. Now, what did God do? He was going to tell him what he was going to do, how he was going to do it through a sacrifice, how he was going to make him a father of nations, and yet hadn't given him that name yet. But he's going to make him a father of nations, and he killed the sacrifice, speaking to him in this. Now, watch. What did Abraham see? The first thing after he killed the sacrifice, he kept the birds off of it until the sun went down. When the sun went down, what happened? A deep sleep fell upon Abraham. Is that right? Genesis 15. A deep sleep upon Abraham. What's that? Death to every human being. All Abraham's seed. What happened next after deep sleep? Then a black harness come before him. Then from that come a smoking furnace where every sinner goes to hell. But after that went a little white light. And this little light went between the sacrifice. Said, "You see what I'm going to do, Abraham? A little light. God is the light." And he went between this sacrifice, these dead pieces of body here. What was he doing? Making the covenant. Who did he swear by? Himself. He couldn't swear by anybody greater. You always swear by somebody greater than you. So there's nobody the Bible said that he could swear by because he's the greatest, and he swore by himself. Why? He'll keep the covenant with Abraham and his seed. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory. Glory.
Amen.
Praise God.
I swear by myself. And I'll never vary one word from my covenant with you or your seed at you. What about that, sister? What about that? I'll keep my word.
Yeah.
Swore by himself. The Bible said he did. I'll keep my covenant. I swear to you, Abraham, I'll do it. Legalist brethren, I don't need to pitch hard, but I just want to say one thing here just a minute. Look in here. Look what he's done. How did he do it? Why was he speaking of? Surely you're spiritual enough to catch it. What did he do? Christ was that royal seed of Abraham that was promised. Is that right? What did he do with him? He took him to Calvary. He lived on earth. He proved he was the Messiah, with signs and wonders, knowing the secrets of the heart, perceiving their thoughts, proving that he was the Messiah that was to come. Have we taught that this week? Has the Bible said so? God's Word said so? He proved he was the Messiah. What did he do with him? He took him to Calvary, and he tore him apart. Raised up his body on the third day for his part, and set on his right hand, and sent the same Spirit that was up on Christ down on his church.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. To do the same work and same thing that he did. Where's your coming? Your peace is good. When that real, genuine church of Jesus Christ comes to meet up the resurrection, that same Spirit is in Christ will have to dovetail with that same covenant.
Amen.
I don't care what kind of a tail of a Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, whatever you've got, if the Spirit of Christ isn't in you,
amen,
then you're not Abraham's seed.
That's right.
And you're not in the covenant.
That's right.
Because that's where he wrote the covenant. Amen.
Oh.
If you're different with it, read your Bible. than the Spirit.
The Spirit upon Christ is on the church. A little while and the world will see me no more, yet you'll see me for I'm the personal pronoun. I'll be with you, even in you. And the works that I do shall you do also. I'll be there until the end of the world. These times shall
always
be. Hang on, you unbelieving Methodists, you unbelieving Baptists, you unbelieving Pentecostals, who claim to be the seed of Abraham and then dispute his word.
That's right.
Say that the faith of miracles is back. God swore by an oath he'd keep that seed alive.
Amen.
Through every nation, through every generation. The seed of Abraham.
Right.
Amen. But by the blood, he confirmed it in the 15th chapter. Now, let's go a little farther. What did he do? Justification then by faith, by believing. Justification to his seed, is that right? Through Martin Luther. Sanctification by the blood, is that right? Sanctification to his church by John Wesley. Now what? Abraham's 100 years old. Turn to the next page in your Bible. 17th chapter. See if God keeps his word. Abraham's an old man. He's 100 years old. He was right in 1 year. He was 99. And the Lord appeared to him in the name of El Shaddai. The bosom. Excuse me, young lady. My sister. El comes from the word of strong one. Shad means breast. Shaddai means breasted. God, he said, I am Almighty God. Now, if you got a Scofield Bible, or if you got a Thompson chain, or if you get the Antiquated Didot, or any commentary, you notice that that word broke down when he called him that. He called him El, I appeared to him in the name of El Shaddai. What a wonderful message to an old man that had been believing that promise now for 24 years. And the Bible said he got stronger all the time. How are you feeling, Sarah? No different.
Glory to God.
Heaven. 15 years passed. How are you going to feel, Sarah? Well, I just got a bit different. Listen, I'm going to reel be clean, and you listen. She has stopped as being a mother, or being a woman. You know, the 28 days from the time she was a little girl, it ceases about 40, 45 years old. And when God called her, she was 20 years past that. Now look where she's at. She's 75 years old. Yeah, she's more than that. She's 81 years old. But look, instead of Abraham getting weaker, are you ready? Instead of Abraham getting weaker when he seen it didn't happen, the Bible said he got stronger.
All right.
And here it's got to happen in a moment. Or we say, see, I told you this thing is divine healing. I lost my healing. You're a poor excuse for Abraham's seed. Abraham's seed bleeds just like Abraham did. Abraham and his seed after him. Well, I say, Brother, I'm not worthy of healing. I've just got to tell you, it's nothing you've done, it's what he done.
Amen.
You keep thinking you're unworthy. Here, what if an old mare, back in the Bible time, would give birth to a little colt? Or, had a mule. And this mule was born, and both ears just dropped down. His tail stuck straight up. His eyes was crossed, his knees was both together. Well, if he could look in a glass and think it's safe, woe is me. They'll never feed me. They'll just knock me in the head when they come out and see me. But what if his mother was well instructed in the law? She'd say, wait a minute, honey. Wait a minute. I know you're a horrible looking creature. You're no good, but you're going to live. Because there is a law of God that says, you are born under a birthright. You're my first. Oh, God. Why do you want to be a Presbyterian? Why don't you go back and be a Pentecostal like it was at the first, the birthright? You can be a Pentecostal Presbyterian. You can be a Pentecostal Methodist. Go back to the first church the way it started. Say you were born under a birthright. I'm telling you, if you were born under a birthright, you know what's going to happen? What's going to take place? In the morning, when they come out to the pastor to see you, you know what they're going to do? They are not going to knock you in the head because you're going to live, but they're going to have to reach over and get a lamb without a blemish on it. Amen. And they'll take that lamb that don't even have a blemish on it, and that lamb will have to die in your stead. The priest will never see you. Amen.
Amen.
Do you see it?
Amen.
Don't look at yourself, look at your sacrifice.
Amen.
God don't look at you, He looks at your sacrifice. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't look at yourself. I'm not worthy, you're not worthy, nobody's worthy. But He is the one. I'm not counting on what I've done, what I am, or I've never made it. But I'm looking at what He done. That's where I'm trusting what He done.
Amen.
He's my sacrifice. I'm not worthy of healing. No, sir, Lord, I ought to die long. I know I ought to never even been born. But I live. I got eternal life. I'm going to heaven now. Because He done for me. He took my place. I was not weak, cross-eyed in every kind of condition, but He took my place.
Amen.
Seriously speaking, I was all twisted up and all messed up, but He took my place. So He makes me a perfect son of God. A perfect daughter of God. His sacrifice did it, not mine. I had nothing to do with it. I was born all out of shape anyhow.
Amen.
But I don't trust in what I done. I trust in what He done.
Amen. Amen.
What He was. That's what it was. Now, what did He say to Abraham? You're an old man, 100 years old, Abraham. You're 99. But I am El Shaddai. I am the breasted one. Now we're on the, we passed the first junction, justification, justification. Sanctification, sanctification. Now remember that was things that God promised and did to Abraham, but here He said, I am the breasted God. Now you're old, Abraham. You're 100 years old, but to me you're no more a baby. So I give you a promise, and I am the breasted God. I am the strong one. Lean upon my bosom now, and nurse from me my strength into your weak body. Getting him ready for the miracle. That's what He done to the Pentecostals after Wesley. He let the Pentecostals nurse His own strength, His own Holy Spirit, the baptism back into their weak body to give them faith for the rapture.
Right.
To give them faith for miracles.
That's right.
I'm El Shaddai. What He did to Abraham and to his seed after him. Watch. Believing, confirmation, blood covenant, now injecting Himself, His strength, into His people.
Amen. Amen.
What does the word sanctify mean? You're a good Methodist. Sanctification, you be the Brother Branham? I certainly do. It's God's Word. You believe John Wesley? Absolutely. He was the angel of the covenant of his age, the Philadelphian age. Luther was one of the thugs back there. That's exactly right. And we got one coming, which is going to be a prophet. He'll be the Elisha. Exactly. Oh, you said he spoke of John there. No, no, that's Malachi 3. He might send a messenger for me. But remember, the Elisha was to come. The world was going to be burnt with fervent heat before the coming of that great day of the Lord. And it didn't burn before when John came. Read the Bible, brother. Watch what he'll do. Watch him out here, that last word of Malachi 4. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Is that right? And conjunction the hearts of the children to the fathers. See that dual coming of Elijah? Now I know these guys stand up today and say, I'm Elijah. Now, oh, that's nonsense. Why? Notice what happened. The hearts of the what? The children. The hearts of the fathers to the children. John's first coming, he turned the hearts of the old Orthodox fathers to this young message, the children. But in the second coming, he's to take the hearts of the children now and turn them back to the faith of the Pentecostal fathers. That's the beginning. Trying to restore it back. He'll be a woman hater, a wilderness lover. He won't belong to any organization. He says, don't think this saving in yourself. We have Abraham to our father. Neither did John, neither did Elijah. God's able these stones to rise, children of Abraham.
You're
going to come to Sound Methodist, Baptist, or Presbyterian, or Pentecostal. He'll lay the root of the tree, that to the root of the tree. He'll appear on the scene one of these days. Just watch him. They'll hate him. But after his message, then judgment will strike the earth. You'll get away somewhere. So the judgments can strike. There was a little woman in there, you remember, and she had a husband, a man, had died when the Confederation of Churches took it in. When Elijah come out, he was sent to her, and she was glad to receive the prophet's message then. So he sustained her by the help of God. Now watch Abraham drawing, nourishing in all the strength of God. What? Bringing in strength to get ready to have this child at 100 years old. Not only is he the breasted one, he's a satisfier. The little baby, when it's sick and real sick, the mother takes it up to her breast and it begins to nurse her strength into the sick baby, and while it's getting well, it's satisfied. So is the real man that's got a hold of God and nursing in the Holy Spirit, knowing that he's satisfied, and God's going to make every word come to pass. Abraham's seed. That's the real true seed of Abraham. I don't care what anybody else says. He says, if God said so, that tells it, I'll say amen. And he's satisfied it's going to happen. He ain't buffing him around. The doctor might say, let me take your pulse. You're dying. I'm not. Oh, you're just all upset. Well, you better go on back to your work, because you haven't any such thing as that Holy Ghost. You don't know what you're talking about. I've had a hold of El Shaddai. Amen. I know where I'm standing. Every devil could stand and throw fire in his face, he still wouldn't doubt it. You go right into the fiery furnace like the Hebrew children. Why? He's the seed of Abraham. No matter how long it takes, and he's been prayed for, anointed with oil, whatever way he went through, he accepted somehow faith giving that he believes is going to be healed. He's going to be healed. That's all there is to it. He believes he's going into the rapture. Nothing can stop it. He believes the Holy Ghost is in him because he sees the literal signs of the Holy Ghost. You just might as well quit talking to him. You just teach him. You can teach him all the theology in the world. He would do it because he wouldn't believe you because he knows what the Bible says.
Amen.
He knows that he's got a hold of something that's real.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
When God gave. Now, to see what he done to Abraham? Justification? Justification to his church, his seed. Sanctification through Wesley, that great messenger? Sanctification through. Pentecost through there?
Pentecost through here.
See? Pentecost, nursing, bringing. How many understand that when he was El Shaddai, that he gave his own strength into Abraham? He never done nothing but made promises. But here he's emptying himself out into Abraham, literally. How many know that?
Amen.
That was the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Justification is what you believe. Sanctification is what the blood did for you. You're sanctified by believing. But when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it is the person of the Holy Ghost himself.
Amen. Amen.
Oh. The person. Not imagination, not some kind of psychology. But the person of the Holy Ghost. And you, my Christian Science brother, and you that don't believe that the Holy Ghost is a person, he is a personal pronoun. The Bible says when he, the Holy Ghost, has come, he'll testify me. He is a person, not a thought. He nursed, not from the articles and from the promises, but he had now the literal life of God flowing into him. That's what the Pentecostal age done. Now, what did he become then? A son. Amen. Now in the Old Testament, we know, now we just got about 15 more minutes, we know in the Old Testament what happened. In the Old Testament, there was such a thing as a son being born in a home. Now be sure you get this. Are you hearing? Say amen. I know you think I'm crazy this afternoon, or maybe all the time, but I want you to get it. Now watch what he did. When a man was born, or a child born into a family, he was born to son. Is that right? But he had no inheritance yet. He had to be tutored. Is that right? Now when you receive the Holy Ghost, That's where the Pentecost made a great mistake. Said, glory to God,
we got it. That's all it is.
No. In the Bible, when a baby was born on a man's farm, he went around and hired the best tutor he could find. I'll tell you, a beautiful display of it is the 17th chapter of St. Matthew's, the Mount Transfiguration. You want to put that down and read it. How God did his own son, just exactly like God he has to keep his own laws. He can't defile his own laws or break his own laws. He can't be God and just and do it. And he has to keep them to be just and holy and righteous. Notice what he did now. The baby, when it was born, the father was busy about things, so he hired the best tutor he could hire to raise the child. And then the tutor brought the word to the father how the child was progressing. Is that right, brother? We know in Galatians there in different places where the scripture speaks of it. And it was called placing of a son. Now listen just for a few more minutes. Now, what if the tutor come up? Now remember, the father found the, if he loved that boy, he gave him the best tutor he could find. You believe that? That was his son. Now he didn't want to get a tutor there would want to put a straw in his hat and tell him a lie about the child. He wanted to know exactly what was going on with that child. So he hired a real good tutor, and the tutor would come up. Now if the boy was progressing and doing fine, how the tutor must not walk up and say, "Say, fine." But what if that tutor was just, what if that boy was just a renegade? Wouldn't pay no attention, wouldn't do nothing about the father, how the tutor must spell. And he'd come up and say, "Yes, sir, he's not doing too good." "No, sir, I'm sorry, but he's not doing too good. Now you lukewarm church member, I'm going to pour it on you good." Why do you think when God put his child here in the church, what kind of a tutor did God get for him? A bishop? Huh? A pope? Who did he send to raise his child? The Holy Ghost!
Glory.
Bishop will pull punches and want a straw in his hat to be archbishop and all kinds of state seers and all these other kind of things, but the Holy Ghost will bring the true message before the Father.
Yes, sir.
So how do you think the Holy Ghost must feel when he comes up before the Father and says, "Your Pentecostal women cut their hair, brother. They're wearing makeup like the rest of them, right? They don't go to prayer meeting no more. Your sons won't preach against it. What's the matter? What's the matter? Oh, they work the big building program. And they don't realize that I said, I'm going to prepare the place for you.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, they become earthbound. Yeah, they want to have the biggest organization. They won't tell the women that. They won't tell the man that. They're afraid to because they're good paying on the plate. I must blush. The Holy Spirit walk away from God. Shame on us!
Amen.
I must do it. How can he ever give that son anything? You know what happens to that son? He's always a son.
Sure, yes, sir.
But he has no inheritance. Amen. Paul said, "Lest I preach the gospel and be a castaway myself."
That's right.
He never comes into inheritance. That boy's always a son, but he's just a renegade son. But one of the tutor walks up and says, "Hey, you know what? That boy of yours is a fight." Excuse the expression, I hope it ain't sacrilegious to you. He's a chip off the old block. You know what? He's just exactly like you.
Lord.
He does just exactly the same thing you did.
Amen.
I tell you, when he sees anything wrong, he stands right there and calls it out.
Lord.
You can put confidence in him.
How the father must say, "Yeah, that's my son. That's my son.
Lord.
I'm still on Abraham's seed.
Amen.
I ain't left that, I'm staying with that. That's my son." You know what the father does after that boy becomes proved to be a boy? Well, say the Bible said this, but of course now the state presbyter will put me out if I preach that.
Yeah.
If I tell them to see the Holy Ghost, they don't believe in that. I believe in sanctification. Oh, no. Divine healing. I tell you what we'll do. We'll just draw up a bunch and we'll put all this healing stuff out and all this emotion. But the Bible still teaches it better.
That's right.
That's still God's word. If you're Abraham's seed, you'll stand by
everybody.
Nothing will stop you. That's right. Where it's a Methodist bishop or a Baptist overseer or a Presbyterian father or a Catholic priest or pope or whatever it might be.
Nothing going to stop you if you're a real seed of Abraham.
Hallelujah.
Right. Yes, sir. You're not drawing your resource from some man-made system. You're drawing it from above.
Hallelujah.
Preach it anyhow, regardless of who it hurts. You preach it anyhow.
That's right. Amen.
Father said, that's just the way I wrote my word. That's the way I wanted to be preached. That's right. You know what happens? That know what takes place? They have a ceremony for that son. They take that son out and put him on a special garment. You know that's right. Put him in a public place and perform the ceremony of adoption. And place that son. From that time, that son's name is just as good on the check as his father's is. Is that right? Now God did the same with his son. He took Peter, James, and John and went up on top of the mountain. And when he done something major, he called three from heaven, Moses, Elijah, and Christ. And he gave three witnesses. And one day he said, let's build three tabernacles here. We'll have a denomination called the prophets. We'll have one called for the law, the Adventists. Before Peter got through speaking, when the supernatural's done, he's all excited. He wants to make a denomination. That's where you let it rain, brother, major mistake. That's where you assemblies of God made your mistake.
Amen.
That's where you oneness made your mistake. That's where your church of God prophets is not all you made your mistake. You saw the supernatural done, you wanted to draw a little ring around it and say, this is us. Why don't you leave it alone? If it's not of God, it'll come to naught. And if it is God, how can you uproot it? It'll stand around. Move on, keep your eye on Calvary, keep drawing from El Shaddai. Stay with it. Make issues and separate yourself. That's what the devil said. Well, I can quit fighting now. They train their guns on one another.
Amen.
As long as they're fighting like that, I'm all right. See? Yes, lay back and take a nap.
Glory to God.
Well, let them once get that thing out of their heart and get back here where they belong. Watch what takes place, man. Let that Greek army stand by the millions. Yes, sir. Watch what will take place then. Let the Methodists drop their banners. Let the Pentecostals drop their banners. Let them both take a hold of the Holy Ghost. You'll see a revival and shake this nation.
Hallelujah.
You'll see a revival like you never. You think they'll do it? No, sir, they won't do it. The Bible says they won't. Billy Graham across the country, and he said, over in Louisville, when I was at his breakfast, he said, Paul went to a city, had one convert come back, and another year, and he had 30 or 40 out of that one. So I'm going to have 30,000 come back and can't find 30. The only thing it is, you have to make a dry eye confession, Billy, you don't take them far enough into the kingdom of God. That's what matters. But he's playing his part. Just a minute, we'll get to that. If you'll just bear with me a minute. Notice, he placed his son. The same thing he done with Abraham. He called Abraham out. Now listen. Now I want you to put on your spiritual understanding and keep quiet just a moment. He called Abraham out then at the end of this 17th chapter and the 18th chapter, rather. He called him out and made a placing to him. He said, Abram, your name is no longer Abram, but your name is Abraham. You're not S-A-R-R-I, you're S-A-R-A-H from now on, princess. What did he do? Placing his son. What is God's name? Elohim. Is that right? Elohim? Is that who he is? Lord God Elohim? Preserver of heavens and earth? And what did he do to Abraham? He gave Abraham part of his name. From Abram to Abraham. Elohim. Because he too was a father. Amen. Place him. Positionally give him the name. Abraham. From Abram to Abraham. Elohim. Elohim. H-E-I-M-H-A-M. Abraham. I want you to notice that was just before the destruction now and before the promise is fulfilled. Watch just a moment. After he made him that, placed his name now, positionally placed him, called him through justification, you believe that? His seed through justification, sanctification through the blood, through the seed, filling with himself, pouring himself into his El Shaddai of the Holy Spirit, now placing him and giving him a part of his name. Elohim! A small Elohim, and man was born to be a God. Now, see, that's wrong. Jesus said, don't say in your own laws you're gods. Why do you condemn me that your own law says you're God? He was given a domain. The domain was the earth.
The whole earth is only waiting now for the manifestations of the sons of God. If I'm a Branham, I'm a Branham. I'm part of a family. And if a man is the son of God, he's made in the image of God and given the domain here on earth to rule this earth like God ruled it. And the second Adam proved it. Amen. You stop nature. Peace be still. Amen. Curse the fig tree. Certainly, he was a man. Yet he was God. He was a manifested son of God. And that's what we're to be one of these days. We're just coming to it through justification, the seeds of Abraham coming up. Now, notice what he did to Abraham. Give him that name. Now, immediately, about 3 or 4 days later, Abraham had separated himself from Lot. Now, listen real close now. Are you ready? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, have you followed it close? Say amen.
Amen.
You see where he's done everything that he did to Abraham, he's done to his seed? Say amen.
Amen.
Right. Now, we're coming down now to the next thing. Now, watch our three classes. Now, what does the word church mean? Call out. Call out.
Amen.
Israel was the people of God, when they called out of Egypt, then they called church of God. Called out, the very word. Go get the dictionary and find out if it isn't called out. Now, what was Abraham? Called out and separated. He was the elected church. Like represents the church today. Please don't miss it. Please, in Christ's name, don't miss it. Listen close. What he, Abraham, was out here in a weary, tarred land, poor, no water for the cattle. But what did Lot do? He was a Christian too. He was a believer. So he went down into Sodom and become the mayor of the city. Is that right? That's your denomination. Your lukewarm so-called Christian. Down there, the sins vexed all these drunkards. It vexes their heart, sure. It vexed their heart. Now there was the Sodomites, the unbeliever. There was Lot right there with them in his lukewarm condition. But here's Abraham.
Amen.
So the time is drawing near to the end now, and watch close. One day while Abraham was sitting under his oak, he saw three men come walking up, dust on their clothes. And Abraham went out and he said, "My Lord, will you come in for this cause you come?" Something that Abraham's heart made him believe there's something there about that man. Well, he come in. Now, not my lords. Three of them, he said, "My Lord." Lot, the old backslider, said, "My Lords." But Abraham seen three of them and said, "My Lord." Elohim. See if the Bible doesn't say that.
Lord.
He knows where he was at. He's Abraham's true seed. "My Lord, come in. Sit down. I'll fetch you a little water. You wash your feet. And I'll give you a morsel of bread, and then you'll be on your road." You sit down, and I guess got the old fly bush. How many of you know what a fly bush was? Man, damn, how many times I've used it. And so he run out in the herd and got a little fat calf and killed it and come and said, "Sarah, way back over there in the tent, I want you to knead some bread up sifter." Did you ever see a sifter? We used to have a little round sifter and Mom had a wedge in it where the cornmeal get wet and sticks you, rub it through because it had to make it every bit count, you know. And you rub it through, said, "Knead some," and put it up on the hearth. They didn't have a bread pan. They just took the hearth there, a big rock laying out before the fireplace, and cooked this bread back way. Says, "I have a little feeling that there's somebody strange out there. Look out there, they were dusty, ordinary men, sitting out there in the shade tree, resting. And they cooked and got the calf ready, got the lamb chops all fixed up, and got the corn cakes ready, got some butter, and they got some milk from the cow, and he went out there and sat down, and they eat it." And Abraham called that man Elohim. God eating the meat of a calf, drinking the milk from a cow, and eating cornbread and butter. Now, if you want to argue about it, you just, Abraham talked to him, he called him Elohim, the Lord God Almighty. What was it? Show him what the seed's going to get. You watch now. God, some minister said to me one time, I spoke one out here a few days ago, he said, "Reverend Brandon, you're a too intelligent person to say that was God." I said, "Then I'm not intelligent enough to know the Bible said it was." And he said, "Do you mean that God was there with a clothes on and it just the Almighty Jehovah?" I said, "Abraham called him Elohim." I said, "Who do you think the other two was?" I said, "Two angels." He said, "Well, how did..." I said, "As soon as he said, he vanished." I said, "Why, you don't know who our God is." I was like, I combing my 2 or 3 hairs I got left, you know, the other day. My wife said to me, "Billy, you're almost bald-headed." I said, "I hadn't lost one." She said, pray tell me where they are. I said, all right, sweetheart, I will. Tell me where they was before I got them. They were a substance. And wherever they was before I got them, they're there waiting for me to come to them. Hallelujah! This body ain't up here, spoonful of dust! That's what it was to begin with. When the volcanic was erupting back there, my body lay there. The same God that brought me and fed me can raise me up again! Right. I said, we're made out of 16 elements of the earth. Petroleum, cosmic light, and calcium, potash. God just said, I've heard about the sins down in Sodom. I'm going to go down and I have to walk around and look around. Steps into it. Said, got another handful of calcium. Said, come here, Gabriel. Come here, Michael. Let's go down.
Glory.
Jesse, come.
Glory.
Walk down. I'm going to show them what's going to happen in the last days to the seed of Abraham anyhow. Now listen, don't you miss this. So then he comes down close, sets down, and they begin to talk, and after eating, you know, two of them went down into Sodom to preach to the lukewarm church. Did you know that? They had a revival down there. And isn't it strange that in this last day, now one of them stayed back and talked to the church elected, Abraham, and his elected group. How many understand that? I say amen.
Amen.
And other went down and talked to Lot to get him out of Sodom because he was a righteous man. All who understand that, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible teaches us that Abraham represented the church elected like the seed of Abraham. See? Believing Abraham, separating himself, believing God, separating himself from the world, come through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, then a placing of the gifts, sons in the body, now he's waiting. See how far we come along? Now here the angel comes down in human flesh. God! Elohim!
Yes.
Does it say Elohim chapter L-O-R-D there? Read Genesis 18:6. Elohim came down in human flesh. Eat like a man. Drink milk like a man. Eat the flesh of a calf like a man. Eat butter and cornbread like a man. Now, if you want to argue, then argue with him. Notice what happened. And there was one stayed back to Abraham, and the other went down to preach to the lukewarm church, a modern Billy Graham. Did you notice how strange in this last days, how A-P-E-R-H-A-M, the one the covenant was made with, and a man in his covenant preaching to the lukewarm church, G-R-A-H-A-M. Did you ever think how strange that was? Not Billy's son, either. See? G-R-A-H-A-M, the messenger to the lukewarm church, the cause of the problem. And one stayed back with Abraham. Watch what the one done went down and preached. What did he do? He screamed, cry!
Amen. Amen.
What did he do? Not many miracles. Wasn't very much done. Only he blinded their eyes. And preaching the gospel blinds the eyes of the unbeliever.
Amen.
What was it? He blinded their eyes so they couldn't find the door.
Amen.
That's what's the matter now.
Amen.
They don't know the door. The door is Jesus, the living Holy Ghost in the church. Preached all right, but he blinded them from that door. Days of miracles is past, but he's still God and so forth. Get out of here. Let's go and burn it up. That's right. Watch that one that stayed back with Abraham. He gave a sign back there, too. Oh, God. Women in them days are not like they are today. Every time somebody comes up, some man, they have to get on their shorts and out, cut the grass, and, you know, tend the husband's business and everything. They stay back in the tent with his mom. If they take all the women out of these offices around here with husbands and all the law working and put them where they belong and take these women's police off the street, a disgrace to this stain on the flag, and put them back, man, but have work. The angel sat down and began to talk to Abraham and said, I guess you know why I come down. A lot. He didn't say Abram. He said Abraham. Well, just a few days before that, he was Abram. Abraham, where is your wife, Sarah, S-A-R-A-H? See if that's right. Just about 2 days before that, he had been
been given that name? How did he know his name was Abraham, and how did he know his wife's name was Sarah? See, she hadn't run out and got her husband's business, so see. Abraham, now listen, the Bible, I'm quoting the Bible, says she is in the tent behind you. Is that right? A wife. Abraham, I am going to visit you according to my promise. Poor Abraham calling Elohim. I'm going to make my promise fulfilled. And Sarah, excuse me, young lady. Sarah, back in the tent, lovely woman. But she said, me? No woman? Nearly 100 years old and my Lord, her husband, 102, and not have pleasure with him again? You understand what I mean, don't you? As husband and wife, it ceased to be, see? That I have pleasure as a young woman again with my husband out there, when that may have been 20 years past before such a family relationship, see? Me, an old woman, have pleasure with my husband, and him, an old man, here she said. And this angel, Elohim, in flesh, looked at Abraham and said, why did Sarah laugh, saying within herself these things cannot be? See what kind of sign the elect of the church got? See what kind of sign Billy Graham's given? See what it is here in the elect of the church? Is God in your flesh. Manifesting. And didn't Jesus say, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man? Do you see it now? Now we're past justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, the placing of the gifts of the Son in the church. Now it's God manifesting himself for that sign. And I ask any Bible reader to show me one more sign he done before after that. Now let's go just a little piece farther. He said, she's in the tent behind you. Now look, God would have condemned that woman right there for disbelieving that angel. You believe that? But he couldn't do it. And the way some of you Pentecostals, us Pentecostals, are acting, we'd have been kicked out a long time ago, but God can't do it. Why? If he'd have kicked out Abraham, if he'd have kicked out Sarah, she was a part of Abraham. So she was heirs with him. So he had to kick Abraham out too, so he couldn't do it on account of his wife, without the husband. So that's the way it's because of Christ he can't kick us out. We're his sons and daughters. Our unbelief doesn't mean nothing. The real true seed of Abraham will shine anyhow. There it was. Listen close now. And the angel said, I'm going to visit you according to time of life. I'll let the name have it. And Abraham went with him and he vanished and went away. Out into the dark somewhere he went. Turned back to God again. Have we seen justification? We see sanctification? Baptism of the Holy Ghost? Coming into the body of God? Have we seen the placing of gifts in the church? Now have we seen the manifestation of God the last time? Oh, what? Immediately God did something to Sarah and Abraham. Now you're not going to believe this. But it's so anyhow. You see, what you want to read the Bible, you don't read it just like you read it in the newspaper. And they had an explosion the other day, and I don't know whether that's true or not. They sell us so many things that's wrong, you just can't pay attention to it. But when you read the Bible, it's a love letter to the church. The Bible says, Jesus thanked God for hiding from the eyes of wise and prudent, and revealed to babes such as are learned. When I go overseas, my sweet little wife will write the letter, dear Billy, I'm sitting here tonight with the children. We have just put them to bed. Little Joseph cried a little tonight before he went to bed. I know what she's writing, but I love her so much I can read between the lines. I know what she's talking about. That's why you have to read God's Word between the lines. If you love him, he just reveals it to you. You thought, well, he just, here it is. Well, I say, here it is. Sure. Now look, you know what he done to Sarah and Abraham? Now listen real quiet. He changed them back to a young man and woman. Now she proved he did it. Now listen close. The first thing you know immediately, Abraham and Sarah left that land and went down to Berea. Is that right? Measured on the map. But a long ways for an old man, little grandma, a little bonnet on her head, you know. Now you say, oh, what is this? Well, the Bible says they were well stricken in age and past the time of living a human life. Yeah. Little grandma, here she goes. They go down there, and when they got down there, there was a young king down there named Amalek who looked for a sweetheart. And all that beautiful, pleasant girls around there, when he see grandma coming, he said, that's the one for me. He fell in love with her, said, you're fair to look up on.
shame on me. Little grandma could not even live with her own husband after 3 years and made fun of the angel even saying she'd do it.
He made her a young woman. She was beautiful and fair.
Now look, let me tell you something. He would have had to, he'd done something to her. Now what if he just made her first? What if he just, if he did that, they didn't smoke cigarettes for them, they didn't have to raise their babies on bottles, see? They didn't have it, they had to raise them on the breast. The milk veins had dried up. A woman 100 years old going labor, she'd die in a minute. Certainly she would. He had to give her a new heart, he had to give her milk veins, he had to fertilize her womb, he had to, look what he had to do to Abraham, his body as good as dead. He just changed his act, because he's showing what he's going to do to the seed of Abraham. See? Notice, he went down there, so Andrew fell in love with her. How many know this guy? And took her for his wife! And he was going to come near because she was a beautiful girl. And that night, that real good legalistic brother was laying out there. He would said his prayers and stuck his bath and stuck his toes up. Mars went near this beautiful Hebrew girl, boy, just only 100 years old, see. You know, how, just how pretty she was, her young husband sitting out there. And that night, the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, you're just as good as a dead man. Right?
That's right.
I want to ask you something, whether you're all right for your healing this evening or not. Why, I said, Lord, you know the integrity of my heart. Said, that woman told me that that was her brother. Said, that's a man's wife. Listen, here's the part. Said, her husband is my prophet. Now, I don't care how much you pray, I'll never hear you.
Amen.
Go let him pray for you. Not him. Sitting out there lying. And a man that would say that against his wife to save his own neck. Are you worthy of that? See, what am I trying to do? Show you that it's God's grace that makes you worthy. You're no good, I'm no good, but he's the one that's good. Look to him. If he's the one that did it.
That's never God's grace. Abraham sat there lying. Was he lying? Did he do it? He said, that's my sister.
The little white lie.
They're big black ones.
And she said, that's my brother. And that was wrong. But he's telling her right about the way to save his neck.
And then he said, go out there and pray for him. Let him pray for him. And Abraham prayed for him, restored his life. And what next? They had the child. I want to notice, in closing, I must say this. I can't get to the rest of it. It's too late. I had a terrible week. I want to say this.
What did he do to Abraham? Justification when he believed. Is that right? Amen.
Amen.
Sanctification when he, by the blood. Is that right? Abraham and his seed. Give him strength from his own body. Same thing when he gave him the Holy Ghost. Strength from his own being. Is that right? Placing his sons in the body with gifts. Is that right? And now, manifested himself as Jehovah. Witness by Jesus Christ to know the secrets of the heart. Just like Jesus said. Remember, when Jesus was here on earth, he proved to the Jews he was Messiah for that sign. Is that right?
Yes.
He proved it to the Samaritans. They were looking for a Messiah. Is that right?
Yes.
But no place to the Gentiles. They wasn't looking for no Messiah. We're looking for a Messiah, are we?
Yes.
So now he's proven it to us now. And look, what did he do? He had to change Abraham and Sarah's body. Was the next thing after that sign was shown that he knows the secret of their heart, he changed, the next thing was a change of the body in order to receive the promised son.
Amen.
And that's the next thing in line now, is the rapture of the church.
Amen.
The changing, we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep, for the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And look, what if he just turned them back to a young man and woman like they was at the first time? They couldn't have had the baby anyhow. Because they lived together when they were young man and woman. He had to change their body in a different way in order to see the, get the son. Is that right? Their body had to be changed in another way to receive the son. And we cannot, if we would go back to the young men and women, we still can't meet the son. Because we're going to be in the air. We've got to have a changed body to meet in the air.
That's the next thing from the human neighbor.
Hallelujah.
The trumpet shall sound the next thing.
The real children of Abraham shall be changed.
Hallelujah.
This body made right and we'll go right.
Hallelujah.
If we go back to be young men and women, we still be earthbound. If Abraham and Sarah went back to be a young man and woman, they could have a baby because they were still sterile. But he changed them in order to receive the promised son. And as he did with Abraham, what type of everything down through Abraham, everything through Abraham's seed, and here we are right here today waiting for the rapture at once.
Oh,
immediately after that comes the change. And the son. Are we looking for the son?
Amen.
What kind of son are we looking for? The son of God.
Amen.
Rising with healing in his wings.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Abraham and his seed after him. Now do you understand? You see, while I'm so enthused, I've got about 10 or 12 more scriptures here I should get to. But we haven't got time. I want you to have your church tonight. I should have been on the road home 20, 30 minutes ago. But do you see what I mean? Yeah. What he done to Abraham? He did to his seed. Is that right?
Right.
What was the seed? The nation. What wasn't just the people? God deals with Israel as, here says the man sitting right here. That come to me the other day and he said, I'm trying to get to be a missionary to the Jews. I said, forget it. These little straggling Jews are not the Jews that God talks about. God deals with Jews not as individuals but a nation. Israel's ready to receive the Spirit when Elijah and Moses appears to him after the rapture of the church. The next thing is the fig tree putting forth its buds. That's the truth. So they're coming to their homeland, but Israel will be received as a nation. We're as individuals. Abraham's seed. So now, that was the Holy Spirit. And you just mark that, you young folks in your book, and see how that's right or not. But now, the Gentile church is finished. There is Billy, G-R-A-H-A-M, and Sodom, pulling out them sodomites just as hard as he can. The angel of the Lord here amongst the elected churches being called out, called holy roller like Abraham. You're crazy. Why don't you come on down and associate yourself and have fun with the rest of us? We're living here on the luxury and things like that. But there's a true seed of Abraham. We're going to touch the world with the things of the world. Why is that? What's the message going? A man met me the other night and said, Brother Ram, if you just compromise, a great man of a full gospel church, said, we'll take and furnish an airplane if you join our organization, and we'll take you with this gift to every major city in the world and blast this thing forth if you just compromise a little bit upon what you're teaching. I said, you with a doctor's degree, ask a servant of God to compromise on the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
I can't think of such a thing as that, man.
Amen.
I said, no, sir, there's no compromising in me at all. I said, I believe God's Word teaches the coming of the Son of God. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe in the signs and wonders all the way. That's exactly what God said. That's what I stand by. That's what I believe.
Amen.
And I know that it's true, and we've come through Martin Luther's justification like Abraham did. We've come through Wesley's sanctification. We've come through the Pentecostal age, and now we have seen the placing of the gift into the church. And now what are we seeing next? God manifests himself in flesh, discerning the very thoughts of the heart. Exactly what Jesus said would come to pass. And the next thing is a change of the body to receive the promised son. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I don't know nothing else to say at this hour. Surely the people can understand, Lord. We're at the end time. Science says that we, 3 or 4 years ago, we were 2 minutes until midnight. Or 3 minutes. I believe that the great hand of God reached out and stopped time. The pyramid cap is just about to be set on top. The church is being honed down and seeing its last sign. Lord, let them people wake up and realize they're looking for something way out there in the future that's happening right under their nose and they don't realize it. If the devil can make them believe that, Lord, he's got them whipped. Let them realize, Lord, that this Holy Spirit that we're enjoying and have been for all these years is you.
Yes.
It's Christ, the covenant that God made with the human race, that we could be sons and daughters of his Spirit dwell in us, and we'd do the same thing. Who was that Elohim down there? Why was you, Jesus, the anointed one that anointed a body of flesh to show that in the last day you'd make yourself manifested in human flesh? And we see you do it every day and night. And this has been going on now for the first time for 2,000 years.
And here we are, we come through Luther's age, like you took Abraham through Wesley's age, like you did Abraham through the Pentecostal age. It organized itself into dominated and set back on the shelf. Church moving right on, right on. Little isms trying to come up, but every plank that my father has a plan to be rooted up, dies right out. But here we are now to see God dwelling among us, showing himself. We're waiting for the rapture, the change, that we can see the Son of God coming in glory one of these days. He'll never touch his feet on the earth, but we'll be changed and caught up to meet him in the air. As you changed Sarah and Abraham and made them in condition so they could see and receive the promised Son that they'd waited on, God, I pray that you'll change our mortal bodies one of these days, like that vision or translation or whatever it was the other night. We'll be caught up one of these days, changed. Yes, Lord, I believe it with all that's in my heart. The old will become young, the power of God, Lord. One of these days we'll be sitting in a meeting, some out in the field, some grinding at the mill, and all of a sudden there will be a scream from heaven. Behold, the bridegroom's coming. Then stand there with our hand there and know that we're sons of God and joint heirs with Abraham through Jesus Christ, the royal seed. Know that the same signs that was done there at Abraham, we see it done today and promised by Jesus Christ, as it was in Sodom, so shall it be. Before Sodom was burned, the world will be burned again. And before the burning the second time, the same thing will occur again. And we see a Billy Graham down in Sodom preaching the gospel to that intellectual group, trying to call them out. Miss Lot, with all of her parties and her loved ones, and didn't want to leave. And we see the modern women with shorts and paints and haircuts and like the Sodomites, dressing themselves like prostitutes, sexy, so that men can look upon them and then be guilty for committing adultery with that man. They'll be pure in their body, but whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already. Committed it with her, she'll answer for it. We see Miss Lot doing the same thing. God, how we could stay with this till in the morning, and tomorrow night, and the next morning, on and on. How that sun came and how he was sacrificed. How that ram was on top of the mountain. Not a vision, but a ram that God had Abraham to kill instead of his own son, and blood run out of it. Blood don't run out of a vision. It was a ram, Jehovah Jireh. God, you're able this afternoon to provide yourself a sacrifice. You're able to provide yourself a church. You're able to provide ministers that will rise up and preach the truth regardless of what organizations and denominations and bishops and popes and so forth says. You're Jehovah Jireh. I love you, Lord. I love you. And I commit this audience to you. I commit my precious brothers here who believe this same gospel. God, I pray that you'll make them mighty man of God. Oh, God, that'll lay to the hewing line the gospel. Not compromising with anything, regardless of what it cost them. I pray that you'll do this wonderful people in here this afternoon the same thing. Now, Lord, I've preached the word as clear as I know it. I've showed them by types in a childlike form that anyone could understand. Now, Lord God, creator of heavens and earth, Elohim. You're still Elohim. I pray that you'll bring your spirit in among us this afternoon. And that your great power will come and show us the very visible sign that you showed Abraham and Sarah before that hour comes. Grant, Lord, this church when I leave this afternoon, oh, eternal and blessed one, that they might know that you are Jehovah. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, I pray in Jesus' name.
Yea, for I have feared in thee, yea, I have elected thee, I have called thee, wilt thou not come? I say unto thee, thy heart is known by me. Yea, wilt thou stay? I say, come up with me. Yea, come up with me, and I will be unto thee thy God. Yea, if I was to Abraham, will I not be unto thee? I say unto thee this day that I am.
Holy Spirit, saying that message that as he was there with Abraham and his seed, he sure Abraham, seed today. Be reverent before Almighty God. I'll ask you if you might raise your head. I ask you to be reverent. I have called today that we're going to pray for the sick, to bring the sick up here. I do not want to let this to leave this impression upon these people here that because that I'm here, I'm the one to pray for the sick. I see a colored woman. And she's praying for high blood pressure. She's from here. She's from Chicago. Yeah, Miss Jones. Miss Noah Jones, and you stand up. Is she up?
Yes.
I want another lady to wave your hand like this so people know that you're not ashamed of one another. Go home. Jesus Christ heals you. Another woman. Operation for the strength of bulls coming from this.